The final case for oral argument this morning is the Smith Farm Mutual Insurance Company appellant versus Floyd Demery and James Hageman, appellees. For the appellant, we have Mr. Larry Von Wald, an attorney from Rapid City. And for the appellees, we have Mr. Mark Meyer-Henry, an attorney from Sioux Falls. Justice Meyer-Henry has disqualified herself. We have appointed the Honorable Art Rush, presiding judge of the First Judicial Circuit, to sit in Justice Meyer-Henry's place. Mr. Von Wald, you may proceed, sir, and you have 20 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. Good morning, Your Honors. The case now before the court involves an issue of an insurer's duty to defend in the context of an absolute pollution exclusion and a limited farm liability pollution endorsement. Your Honors, in the summer of 2007, the Albine Family Limited Partnership brought suit against Messrs. Demery and Hageman in the Third Judicial Circuit Court. The suit was brought under several theories, including negligence, nuisance, trespass. One theory was alleged was res ipsa loquitur, was alleged as a theory of recovery, notwithstanding that it's a rule of evidence. But at any rate, the gravamen of that complaint, all of the claims made in that complaint were the discharge of cattle manure and wastewater arising from the operation of an Angus cattle operation in Lake County, South Dakota. When that suit was initiated, the counsels for Messrs. Demery and Hageman submitted the suit to their insurer, the Schmidt Farm Mutual Insurance Company of South Dakota. And upon receipt of that, the Schmidt Farm Mutual declined the tender of defense, citing the exclusion that appeared in the farm owners, ranch owners policies that had been issued to Mr. Demery and Hageman. Those policies were identical. And in exclusion number 19 of the farmers, ranch owners policy was an absolute pollution exclusion that was similar to those that appear in a number of policies. And it was also cited an endorsement to the policy, the limited farm pollution liability coverage endorsement, which stated that the pollution exclusion would not apply in instances of the sudden and accidental discharge of pollutants that were intended for use in or used in normal and usual farming activities. After that decline of the tender of the defense, Messrs. Demery and Hageman proceeded to trial in the suit that had been brought against them by the Albine Family Partnership, and they were successful in that defense. They prevailed. This court affirmed the judgment that was entered for the defendants in March of 2010. After this court's affirmance of the judgment in the underlying lawsuit, Mrs. Demery and Hageman brought this declaratory judgment action against the Schmidt Farm Mutual, alleging a breach of duty to defend, the duty to defend, and seeking recovery of their attorney's fees that they incurred in the defense of the underlying lawsuit. A stipulation of facts was entered into, and the parties filed cross motions for summary judgment. And the Third Judicial Circuit Court entered summary judgment in favor of Messrs. Demery and Hageman, citing that the rule that's well known in South Dakota, that an insurer has a duty to defend if it clearly or arguably appears from the pleadings, and assuming the pleadings, that the facts alleged are true, that the claim being made falls within the coverage.
Counsel, what are you seeking here for a remedy? Are you seeking a reversal in a trial, or are you saying you win outright?
No, we're saying that we're seeking the reversal of the trial court's entry of summary judgment and remanding the case so that summary judgment can be entered for the insurer.
Thank you.
Did that stipulation include any portion of the transcript or record that was made in that Alvine trial?
It did not, Your Honor. It did not. And notwithstanding that circumstance, Your Honor, upon making its ruling, the trial court made reference to the fact that it sat as the trial court in the underlying lawsuit and recalled some of the facts from the case, particularly that the plaintiff, Alvine Limited Partnership, claimed that this manure and wastewater had come on to their land and invaded their lakes and streams, at least partially as a result of a rainstorm. And the court also acknowledged that there was a continuing seepage that gave rise to the pollution that the Alvine Family Limited Partnership was complaining about.
Is there anything in the pleadings that would have indicated that that may be issues in the case?
There was not, Your Honor. There was no pleading at all that any of the pollution alleged to have taken place was sudden and accidental. Rather, the pleadings reflected that the pollution had been the result of intermittent, repeated, continuing, ongoing pollution. And there was nothing other than the pollution had arisen as a result of a cattle operation.
Is the trial court bound to look only at the pleadings in deciding whether there's a duty to defend, or could the trial court, as it did in this case, recall the facts of the trial and incorporate that into the decision whether there was a duty to defend?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that, the rules that have been enunciated by this court indicate that the trial court may look not only at the pleadings, but other record evidence if appropriate. There has not been a circumstance before this court, of which I'm aware, where a trial judge sitting after the trial of an underlying lawsuit incorporates those facts that may have been adduced during the trial. There would be no way for an insurer to make a proper evaluation if those were the circumstances.
Well, you could have asked for another judge.
Excuse me?
You could have asked for another judge, knowing that Judge Tucker had sat on the trial.
Oh, there would certainly have been that alternative, Your Honor. But in this particular case, it wouldn't have made any difference. And the reason is that under the majority rule, in courts that have looked at this issue, it is the initial discharge of the pollutant that's relevant. It's not any subsequent migration of pollutants. And that's where the trial court erred. Even if it wasn't.
Did Judge Tucker give you any advance warning of the fact that he was going to consider the record from the other trial?
No, he did not, Your Honor. It was there was facts that were outside the stipulation of facts. We know from this court has not had the opportunity to review an absolute pollution exclusion in the context of the limited pollution liability endorsement. However, in 1989, the late U.S. District Judge Andrew W. Bogue had such a clause before him in the case of Headley versus State St. Paul Fire and Marine. And then just a little bit later during the same year, U.S. District Judge Batty had that issue before him in American Universal Insurance versus Whitewood Custom Treaters. Judge Batty particularly noted that courts look at the initial discharge and that anything that the subsequent migration is not relevant. And the reason it's not relevant is when you look at the language of the exclusion, it speaks strictly to the discharge of pollutants. More important, the language of the endorsement also speaks to the discharge of pollutants, not to their subsequent migration.
But there was no cause of action when they discharged the pollutants onto their own land. The cause of action only arose when it was passed over onto the Alvine property. Isn't that correct?
Well, that would be true, Your Honor. But the public policy, as noted in Judge Batty's opinion, in the American Universal Insurance Company case is important. Judge Batty pointed out in his thoughtful decision that the authority's comment about the public policy, namely that a business is not to engage, actively engage, in the discharge of pollutants. And then when those pollutants migrate or result in damage to others, that they then look to an insurer to address, to indemnify that. And
but you're certainly not urging us that farmers in South Dakota can't allow manure on their own land.
Excuse me?
You're not urging us to find that farmers in South Dakota can't allow manure onto their own land.
No, certainly not, Your Honor. And we understand, of course, that whether that it's farmers or if it's industrial operators, that when you are handling pollutants, that you can't handle them without regard to the existing circumstances. In other words, in the agricultural community, that you can't safely put a cattle feedlot on the top of a slope that runs down to a lake, when you do that, that you would have reason to expect that there would be damage. In this particular case, this sudden and accidental, the majority of courts have determined that the word sudden not only means unexpected, but that it has a temporal component to it. One court said that it's the marrying of abruptness and an unexpected event. Accidental, the courts that all of the courts have looked at the word accidental have held that it means something unexpected and unintended from the standpoint of the insured. In other words, in the context of this particular case, when one puts cattle out on a pasture, it can't be said to be unexpected or unintended for there to be the discharge of manure and other animal waste. And so that there can't be any circumstances under which a limited farm pollution liability endorsement would cover the discharge of pollutants in that context.
We're in a duty to defend case. What I asked about pleadings, what does insurance company have a duty to look beyond the pleadings to investigate to some degree whether or not there is a further duty to defend? Before making their decision?
Well, Your Honor, I'm very much aware of this court's statement, I think, in the most recent pronouncement that issue hasn't been reached by the court. But in the context of existing law, that the insurer has the duty to look at the pleadings and other record evidence. In this particular case, there was no other record evidence. And in terms, even if there had been an investigation, looking backward, looking at the Albine Family Limited partnership case, we would have found that it was a Red Angus cattle operation. There wasn't anything unusual or particular about that, other than the fact that it had existed for a long time, it had been ongoing, and there had been controversy between the Albine Family Limited partnership and Mr. Hageman and Demeray. Mr. Demeray leased the land to Mr. Hageman for that operation. And so even in that context, if it had been known then what is known now, the result would be no different. The sudden and accidental provision in the limited farm pollution liability coverage endorsement would not have any application.
Even if the insurance company's investigation had shown that there had been a significant rainstorm that had washed some portion of this pollution onto the Albine property?
That would be correct, Your Honor. The authorities that have looked at the questions of fire, earthquake, rainstorm causing a migration of pollution have all said that doesn't change the result in the case of a sudden and accidental exception to an absolute pollution exclusion. Most notably, the case of Travelers Casualty Insurance Company versus Superior Court, a California appeals court in 1998 speaks to that, as does the Lafarge Corporation versus Travelers Indemnity case, an 11th Circuit case, at about the same period of time. And the courts, they look to two different rationale when they're talking about rainstorms or events causing the migration of pollutants onto a neighboring land. The first is, and I would submit the most appropriate is, that the endorsement, the exclusion, the absolute exclusion and the endorsement. Subsequent migration. The other rationale for the holding that we're talking about is that rainstorms are not something that are unexpected. Persons, particularly in eastern South Dakota, know that that rainstorms are to be anticipated. And so you can't say that it's something that's unexpected or unanticipated from the viewpoint of the insured. And so in this particular case, Your Honor, we would respectfully submit that the trial court erred in its analysis of the circumstance of when it entered the summary judgment for the insureds, the landowner and the operator of the Red Angus cattle operation, and it should have focused upon the discharge of the pollutants rather than the subsequent migration. And in accordance with the majority of courts that have visited this issue earlier.
I have one question.
Sir.
I'd like you to divorce yourself from the policy language for a moment and just talk to the law on our ability to look at trial evidence to determine the duty to defend. Because typically, you know, the duty to defend is decided before the trial. Most often, there's a declaratory action brought to determine these issues, and you don't have that evidence. This seems a little bit unusual, and I'm concerned about the rule, what the rule of law should be about the ability to consider the trial transcript.
Your Honor, you know, the insurers are confronted every day with questions about whether there exists duties to defend under policies. And certainly that there are some circumstances, depending upon the state of the law, where it's appropriate to file a declaratory judgment. But I don't think any of us would consider that it's appropriate to file a declaratory judgment in every instance. In this particular one, it was appropriate because the state of the law appears quite clear. This court, for example, had upheld in 2000 in South Dakota State Cement Plant versus Wausau Underwriters the application of an absolute pollution exclusion clause. Going more directly, Your Honor, Justice Zinter, is that if we were to begin incorporating evidence that is adduced in a subsequent trial, you would leave insurers and insureds in a virtually untenable position because the duty to defend would never be determined or would never be final until after the trial of the underlying action. And again, I believe that the rule that exists now is most appropriate. In other words, what is the claim being made? What is the claim being made? If the facts alleged in connection with the claim are true and appear to fall within the coverage, thank you, Your Honor, then the insurer has the duty to defend. I see nothing about that particular rule that ought to be changed in that regard, Your Honor. It seems that it's an appropriate, it's been, that rule has been enunciated in a wide variety of circumstances, and that the results are appropriate. Here again, there wouldn't have been any change in the result had the duty to defend that determination been made after the trial. Again, had the circuit court analyzed the circumstances applying the majority rule, it would have entered the summary judgment for the insurer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Brownwald. Mr. Meyer, you have 20 minutes, sir.
it please the court, counsel, on the point of this is an adversary proceeding, I want to point out that 49 years ago this month, Larry Von Wall led the peer governors over my Gregory Gorillas and kept us out of the state tournament. Had the rules been different, he would have scored 45 points that night instead of 30. And that's what we're here to talk about from our side of the case. As this court said in the United Building case, when there's any basis exists to support Judge Tucker's ruling, this case should be affirmed. And we think there are many bases that exist in this case to support Judge Tucker. We all know it is the appellant's burden to show that this case clearly is outside of any coverage. And as we stand here, my worthy opponent of these many years calls this a pollution case, and I call it a negligence case. We tried a negligence case because, as the jury verdict shows, there was no pollution. And when my two clients, both of whom bought their policy for farm liability coverage, the Smet Farm Mutual said in its document that it drew, which must be construed against it under the law, farming means the ownership, maintenance, or use of premises for livestock, for premises for the production of crops, or the raising or care of livestock, page 83 of the record. So clearly, the operation of a livestock operation on a farm is a covered activity, both for the tenant, who was Mr. Hageman, and the landowner, who was Mr. Demery. And it says, this document says, that they will defend, which is a different duty than coverage or payment of any award, that they will defend if the operation has to do with the care and the raising of livestock. The case did. If you go to the complaint, and I hope the civil procedure teacher is here to teach notice pleading, you will see that Mr. Cockrell, who is a lawyer out in Montana, pled this case, which is truly notice pleading. I don't recall, and I'm glancing, I should be exact, but I don't recall that there's even a date in this complaint. This is truly notice pleading, a part of which, it's very important to know, is there is a count of negligence where they claim that the defendants, my clients, breached the duty owed to the plaintiff. In their actions, it says, defendants breached this duty and carried on and will carry on the cattle operations and the work of the land in a negligent manner.
But now, Mr. Myron-Henry, one of the common allegations of the pleading was that these discharges were intermittent, repeated, past, and continuing. And that really does not even suggest a sudden an accidental discharge.
No, it does not. But as one of the things that is clear, when we tried the case on the face of the pleadings, this notice pleadings, the plaintiffs were unable to prove that, but they did prove one instance of a heavy rain that took place. This was a farming operation. This was a winter pen of animals, and this heavy rain took a portion of the manure, washed it off of the defendant's land across the section line highway onto the plaintiff's land. There were numerous pictures entered as a part of the record below, well, not below, in the other case, in the underlying case.
Okay, so then when that came in, did you and your clients notify DeSmet that there was going, that now there was additional information that triggered the duty to defend?
No, what I was just describing, Justice Gonenkamp, was during the trial.
Right,
yes, it came up in discovery. The answer is no, we did not. We to answer in a way Judge Zinner's question and yours, my clients are a farmer and a landowner, and they were engaged in litigation, and they chose to spend their money such that they had defending themselves rather than litigating with their insurance company.
I'm just preliminary to my question about when. What is the period of time that we look at when the decision to defend comes into place? Does it just continue on until the underlying trial, your trial, is completed, or does it happen when the complaint is now filed and the insurance company can look at the complaint?
In this instance, the insurance company spent a day, if that. If you'll look at Exhibit E, which is the response by found at the record at page 100 and thereafter, Mr. Merle Waltner, on behalf of DeSmet Farm Mutual, says, "This acknowledges our receipt yesterday of the reference suit papers delivered to our agent." So it appears, just reading this letter, that Mr. Waltner, on behalf of the company, received these documents either on the 23rd of July and made his decision on the 24th of July. Now, I agree with Mr. Von Walt. Insurance companies are called upon to make these decisions day in and day out. But, on the other hand, I believe I sent a letter on behalf of my clients, I did, which is found at page 103 of the record, where I call this a negligence case. And as I read these pleadings, with all due respect to DeSmet Farm Mutual, I read this as a negligence case. I mean, pollution is a buzzword. First of all, if we go read the record, and that's a good question, we weren't either side smart enough, that maybe Larry was smart enough not to incorporate it, but we had no instructions that this was pollution. I mean, first of all, we're here arguing this case way late with our insurance company when Judge Tucker didn't give, nor did the plaintiff in this case, ever request statutes or ordinances that indicated what occurred between the parties was pollution under the normal terms. Didn't ask for it.
Mr. Myers, what's your theory about under which either the trial court or this court could consider what happened in the Alvine trial when it was not included in the record?
I'm not. I can only suggest, because I'm not as wise as this court, I think that this is a contract. And what the insurance company is going to urge you to do is ignore all the evidence. This is a circuit court judge. These are attorneys. We're engaged in a process. The insurance company saw the word pollution, said, "We don't cover that," sent it back. The case goes forward to get to the answer, Judge Rush. We can't ignore the facts that occurred later. DeSmet Farm Mutual accepted premiums from both of my clients, as they do other citizens. If they were wrong, we're not here punishing them. We're not here to punish them. If they would have accepted coverage, what would the difference be? They would have hired Mr. Von Wald. He would have gotten the same result I did. And they would have walked away and they would have paid no verdict. Okay? Here, the word negligence is in there. The other thing that I think is very important, the plaintiff asked to enjoin the cattle operation. Clearly, a farm liability policy, when you're faced as a tenant or an owner, where a plaintiff is attempting to enjoin your action and you're covered for liability and duty to defend under a liability clause for a cattle operation, they should step up. They took the money and they take it from many. And we're not here to say punish DeSmet Farm Mutual. We're here to say, Judge Rush, that they signed the contract. And if our circuit court judges have other information, and this is unique, Judge Zinner pointed out, we decided not to sue. I mean, the record is clear. We didn't sue before. We said, let's go defend. And we made that choice after the insurance company made its choice. When we won, we didn't sue them for bad faith or anything like that. We said, we want the court now to determine whether they should have defended. And Judge Tucker, who knew the facts, and I don't think my clients nor Judge Tucker's affirmance record should be attacked because he knew more facts. Now, he knew more than the insurance company. I'm not here to argue a new rule and say they have to go out and investigate each one of these. But if they make the wrong decision, as we all do in life, they should stand up and fulfill their contract,
But, Mr. Myhrenry, it seems to me that that's going to set a terrible precedent for people that are insured by policies, because if we go back and look at what actually happened at trial, it may turn out that a case where they should have provided a defense, the jury comes in under a different theory, and they shouldn't have had to provide coverage. What if the jury comes back adverse to the insured? Does the insurance company then get to rely on that and say, no, we provided you a defense because we thought there was potential coverage? Turns out the jury decides this on some excluded clause. Now we want our money back for providing a defense in this case. That's what's going to happen if we start looking at evidence that actually occurs at the trial. Isn't there that danger?
Well, I think that's a new case with a totally different theory that you can reclaim money from a contract that you had a contract to do. That would be a unique theory. No, I don't think we're breaking new ground. First of all, Dismet Farm Mutual has to convince three out of the five of you that Judge Tucker was wrong in his reading of the complaint. I don't hear that he's done that.
But he didn't just read the complaint. He recollected facts that he recalled from the trial.
He did.
And apparently the two of you, when you went in to make your arguments for summary judgment, had stipulated to facts, and those weren't some of the facts. So, I mean, what are we to make of that?
Well, what we're to make of it is that Judge Tucker read the complaint and found that there was coverage on the face of the complaint.
So we just disregard the fact that he used the trial record, too. We just disregard that and we just go back to the complaint.
Well, yes and no, in the sense that you can't disregard the truth. What your cases, the Supreme Court, this court said, the judge can consider the face of the complaint and other record evidence. At that time, he followed your lead, and he.
But I mean, other record. Usually, when you correct me if I'm wrong, I think the rule is, at least as I understand it, is that when the insurance company makes the decision to deny or agree to defend, they make it at the time that it's requested. In other words, when you ask them to defend, you sent the letter. They look at whatever is there then, not what they don't look at what comes up later during the trial. So. You know, I don't know how to exactly factor in what Judge Tucker did here, because he doesn't do that. He looks, doesn't go back in time and look at the time the decision was made. He takes facts that he knows personally from his being at the trial and plugs them in.
Well, I guess it's something that this court might struggle with, but what is the purpose? We have a contract case. This is a contract case. It goes to coverage. One of the most devastating things that can happen to a citizen in this state, Justice Konecamp, is to get sued. And the second worst one is to find out that your insurance company that you paid these premiums and thought you had coverage for says, no, based on not the exclusion, but the rider to the exclusion, eliminates this. And even though they're suing you for negligence and trying to shut your operation down, later on we'll argue over whether something was sudden or accidental. Yet, when we go look at whose decision are you reviewing, with all due respect, it's the Smet Farm Mutual's decision. We being the defendants in this case, didn't agree with Mr. Waldner. What Larry Von Wall is asking you to do is to support and give presumptions of correctness to Mr. Waldner, whose duty it is as an officer of the Smet Farm Mutual is to protect their pocketbook, not to provide us with coverage. So the very reason we're here, and we're here because it's a unique case, usually, and I agree, usually we're sitting around, and I'm usually the plaintiff in these type of cases, sitting around waiting for the defendant to go a year and a half to decide whether they're covered or not, while the insurance company and defendant are off trying these coverage issues. In this case, my clients, and this isn't part of the record, but they had a choice to make, and they chose to direct my efforts to go get it settled with their neighbor. When we were successful, yes, we're looking back to say, the face of this complaint, you should have stepped up. You want to call it a pollution case. And yes, it's mentioned throughout. But this court has said, if any one part of this complaint, any one part should have been defended, then you defend the whole thing. And what we're saying is, under the livestock acceptance of a livestock operation, If, for whatever reason, an injunction is sought to close you down based on negligence, then there should be coverage. And if there's a pollution that goes along, we may have been here to argue about whether they had to pay the verdict, Your Honor, but not the duty to defend, not to step up and defend these people in their time of need when it is clearly an action that involves liability in a state that has notice pleading. I mean, there's lots of rules. My clients could lose and have to eat this, and that could, you could decide that. But then we better find out what are the rules when you're the insured's lawyer. Are you supposed to, if they don't start the declaratory judgment, which is historically what happens, the insurance company starts it so there isn't a bad faith case, folks, or we'd be here after a jury verdict. And we'd be looking at a jury verdict against the insurance company. So it seems to me the insurance company writes the contract. They've got all the knowledge. They didn't make a call. Should they? I don't know. Is that reasonable? Do they have to hire investigators and all of that? I don't know. We aren't arguing that here today. What we're arguing here today is did Judge Tucker, even if you eliminate his other comments, what is there in this record to reverse his reading of a horribly drawn complaint? Should you as a lawyer worry about your client's insurance coverage and before you even send it to the insurance company, go litigate and say, we want a more complete complaint? Should we get on the phone and at my age use the dial and call them up and say, you guys, this is a stupid complaint. My clients don't have any coverage. Amend your notice pleadings to say it's a negligent practice and has nothing to do with pollution, so that the Smith Farm Mutual will defend as we think they should.
You know, in Wausau, I remember because I ruled and got reversed as a trial judge. I ruled it was a trespass case, and therefore pollution didn't apply. And this court reversed and said you have to look at what's underlying the label you put on the cause of action, the notice pleading. And they said, well, it may have been trespass, but it was based on, you know, migrating pollution. Isn't that the same thing here?
Well, we're going to go argue another case. I would submit to you it is not. And with all due respect, that was about a far different farming operation. I mean, what we're talking about here and what Alpine claims is pollution is if a deer craps on a farmer's property and it rains on it and it touches that crap and it runs as nature will to the lower property, he can sue. Is that a pollution case in South Dakota?
2 minutes.
With all due respect, it's not. And so I think, again, this court, as it said before, put your faith in the trial court. Judge Tucker has a good record. Our circuit judges pay a lot of attention to these things. Judge Tucker ruled that there was coverage and should have been coverage. And if we want to make these new rules, dicta is a wonderful thing. We all read it. We all read dicta. Maybe I should have done this, criticize me in every way. But I think this is an affirmance because I want to go back to the three-point rule. When Larry was hot 49 years ago making those baskets, we played under the rules. My clients played under the rules. They notified their insurance company in time. Their insurance company made their own decision to say no. We went ahead and did what we had to do, which was defend the case. We now are asking this court to agree with Judge Tucker's reading of the insurance contract and the pleadings and affirm his judgment under the rules that we have to. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Henry. Mr. Von Wald, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe that it's important to underline that it is the majority rule in cases that have considered the issue that's now before this court, that it is the initial discharge that is relevant and that it is not the migration that's relevant. That's what's important here. My friend would from Sioux Falls would like to focus upon what happened in terms of the migration. that it was appropriate for Judge Tucker to have considered it. That's really not an issue in this particular case. Even if it had been appropriate for Judge Tucker to have considered evidence that was adduced at trial, the result was an error because of the fact that it did not focus on the initial discharge, but rather upon the damage. The courts that have looked at this, the majority of courts, are careful to distinguish between the discharge of pollutants and subsequent damage, and the line between the two should not be blurred. And so when the court focuses upon that law and that rule, the result can only be one that would uphold DeSchmidt Farm Mutual's decision that there was no duty to defend. And I want to add something in terms of the decision that was made by DeSchmidt Farm Mutual, the fact that it was done a day after the lawsuit had been submitted to it. You know, insurers these days, if they go left, it should have been right, and if it was right, they should have been left. This was in the context of a lawsuit that had been filed. A time clock was running, the 30-day period in which to answer. Mr. Walter promptly filed, promptly responded to counsel when the request was made for providing a defense. Now, if you look at that letter, and you look at the letter that Mr. Walter said, he was right on the money in terms of the law that's to be applied. He specifically referenced the absolute pollution exclusion in exclusion number 19, and he also made mention and explained to Messrs. Demaray and Hageman the operation of the limited farm pollution liability coverage and endorsement, and explained that it applied to the sudden and accidental pollution that arose in the handling of pollutants that are intended for use or used in normal and usual farming operations. And so I think that that the insurer not only reached the right decision, but did it quickly, in a day. We as lawyers who read dozens of cases and so on, we might take much longer, but those insurers also have the benefit of research and extensive experience in making these decisions. Lastly, Your Honors, I note that my friend stated that if there's any basis upon which this court can affirm the trial court, that is bound to do so. I would respectfully beg to differ. The standard of review that's applicable here is de novo, and the trial court's determination of the law is to be accorded deference. And, Your Honor, for all the reasons that have been previously stated, we would respectfully urge that the judgment of the Third Judicial Circuit Court should be reversed and the case remanded to the court, to the trial court, for entry of summary judgment in favor of DeSchmidt Farm Mutual. Thank you very much.
Well, I realize this is a different fact situation I'm asking you about, but under your argument that it's in initial discharge rather than the migration that's concerned, in this case, if Mr. Meyer Henry's clients had loaded this up in a manure wagon and the manure wagon overturned on the road, even though that was a result of an accident of some kind, your theory would be that it was the original discharge of the manure on their property that would be looked at and not the accidental overturn of the honey wagon? Or
well, no, Your Honor, it would submit that if the honey wagon were to overturn, that there would be a sudden and accidental discharge because that policy expressly refers to the transportation of farm products. You would have a different situation and a different result, and the cases support that viewpoint. The only exception to that is, and I think it's pointed out in our brief, there's a case that's cited in the brief called Weber versus IMT. It's a case that's been decided by the Supreme Court of the state of Iowa. If there are repeated sudden and accidental events, when they become repetitious, they are no longer sudden and accidental and would fall outside of the coverage. And I trust that answers your question, Judge Rush.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manuel.
Yesterday, we talked about a judicial retirement, and I'd like to recognize one more today. Judge Rush, who is sitting with us today, has been a longtime faithful and articulate member of the South Dakota judicial system. He has been a circuit judge in this area, the presiding circuit judge that oversaw this district, and spent numerous hours in this law school assisting legal education here. And he also sat with us many times, and we usually would save the tough ones for bringing Art up. So he's announced his retirement in June, and we would like to thank you for your distinguished service on behalf of the justices and wish you nothing but the best in the future. Thank you, Art. Also, this is our final argument for this term, and these events don't take place in a vacuum. A lot of people spend a lot of time making sure they go properly, and that kind of help is appreciated. Thank you to Dean Vickery, his staff, the faculty, the student monitors, and to Captain Jufer and Lieutenant Sheldon and the state troopers, Vermilion Police Department that provided our security. We appreciate it, and we hope that you students and public who have attended have found these arguments worthwhile. We are in recess.